Well, welcome again. It's great to have you joining us at St Andrew's and All Saints online, both to our regular congregation members and especially to anyone who's listening in today from our community or from wider afield. It's really lovely to have you with us. And well done again for getting through this week, and we hope that in all the ups and downs that you have known God's presence and his strength with you. And we come here to gather again remotely this morning. I'm at the moment in my garden, and some of you may be able to see St Andrew's Church just in the background here as the sun comes out. And we gather here to lift our eyes to God at the start of this special week, Holy Week. We come to hear his promises to us again, that God will be with us, that he is our tower of strength, our refuge at this time, that he'll bring us a peace that the world cannot give, that each one of us is precious and loved by him, that nothing can separate us from his love. And we come to hear again the Easter story, that great Easter story of hope, that Jesus came on that cross to die for each one of us so that we may know God and our relationship with him may be restored and we may have life in all its fullness in this world and in the world to come. And so we gather today to respond to that, to be thankful for all God has done for us, to lift our eyes and our praise to him as they did on that first Palm Sunday. And we come to worship him together. Psalm 100 says these words, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." And so we come now to do exactly that, to lift our voices as we sing "Shout to the Lord."
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. My comfort, my shelter. shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship.
So let us pray. We have come to meet you today, Jesus, in this time of uncertainty, of loneliness and isolation and fear. We come to you to seek your peace, to seek your comfort, and to seek your healing. We acknowledge that you are the one who meets our deepest needs. And today, Palm Sunday, we come humbly, laying our coats before you. Reveal to us who you are, how you can be a saviour in our lives and a saviour for our world today. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I've said already I'm in my garden, and this is the first of many exhibits we're going to put out in our garden this week to tell the Easter story to all those who walk past. And maybe it's something that you might be able to do in your garden too, is to put up a cross or make an empty tomb or tell any of the bits of the Easter story by making an Easter garden yourself. And we'd love to see any photographs of that you might want to send in to us. We'd love to show some of those photographs in next Sunday service. But it's a great way of actually communicating the hope of this Easter story to our neighbours at this time. And I know other ministers across Malvern are going to be encouraging the same. So why don't you join in and let us know what you've been up to. And of course, the first part of the Easter story of Holy Week is Palm Sunday. That story where actually Jesus came riding in on a donkey into Jerusalem, where crowds and crowds gathered. There was no social distancing at the time. They could all come and gather, and they waved their palm branches and they said, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us, save us." And they laid down their coats before Jesus. And Jesus rode on a donkey, knowing something of what was ahead, knowing that actually before the week out was out, he would be dying on the cross for you and for me. The thing I always think about the Palm Sunday story is it reminds me of how changeable we are as people. For many of the people there in the crowds who cried Hosanna on that Palm Sunday, cried crucify just 5 days later on the Friday. And so let us have a moment before we go on in our service, a moment to stop and say sorry to God where we don't always live his way, where our faith like that is changeable, where we let God down. Even this week where actually we've not been as he's called us to be, where we've not loved God and loved our neighbour as he asks us to. So I want to invite you this Palm Sunday to lay those things down now before God, to offer them to him and to receive his forgiveness, his restoration and his peace. On this Sunday, O God, we remember how quickly we change, how we pledge our devotion one moment and turn our backs the next. We go from shouting, "Hosanna, save us," to crucify him. We declare that we love our neighbours and then we turn our backs on the homeless and the hungry in our communities. We speak up for change and justice in one breath and then we continue unjust practices in our daily lives by what we consume and the needs we ignore. Forgive us, O God, when we are half-hearted believers. Forgive us, O God, when we are partial justice warriors. Forgive us, O God, when we tire easily and we grow weary. Forgive us, restore us, and renew us for the journey of faith, so that we might become your kingdom people. Amen. And the Easter story is a story of great hope and of great forgiveness, that Jesus died on that cross so that our sins would be forgiven. And so receive God's forgiveness. He says, whoever you are, whatever you've done, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Just before we send our children and young people off to their activities, I want to just update you on what's happening this week for Holy Week. And we're trying to keep as many of our services and activities still happening as we can, but happening online. So from today, there will be a daily reflection done by one of our leaders and our preachers, which will go out on our Facebook page and our website, which we'd love you to listen into as we tell the story of Holy Week together. And we'll have some questions for you to reflect on. But also what we're going to do is we're going to invite you, if you'd like to be creative and to respond to those reflections and those different bits of the story. And we'd love you to be creative however you want to be. Maybe you want to paint a picture or write a poem or write a song or do some a video prose and send it to us. And we're going to have the opportunity for you to post those things on Facebook underneath the relevant post on Facebook for each bit of the story. Or if you haven't got access to Facebook, then do email us at create@standrewsandallsaints.org and we'll post those for you on our website and online. It would be lovely to share the different creative responses that we are going to gather between us. And more details of that are on our websites. Also on Thursday, we're going to have several monologues that Ruth Gould and some of the other Regent students have done for us. And they're going to be available with some times and thoughts and prompts for reflection from midday on Maundy Thursday. And you can watch them at any time. And also Peter's going to lead a last hour at the cross reflection on Good Friday too. That will be available from noon. And then on next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, we're going to gather together and to celebrate the amazing news, even in these difficult circumstances, that Jesus is alive and all that the resurrection brings. And so we look forward to joining you, joining us next week. And just to say, after today's service too, if you're watching at about the normal time, then we're going to try and have coffee and chat with each other. So on the website, there are details of four different Zoom video conferencing meeting rooms that you can log into. And there are four different hosts who are going to be hosting that. And it's a chance for you to get online at 12 o'clock today, at noon today, and just meet up with each other and have a chat and reflect on the service and see how everybody is. We're going to try that today and see how that goes on. So we're going to send the children out now and the young people out to their groups. Eddie's going to have a Zoom youth meeting again as normal. And the children have got activities on the internet that we'd love you to connect up with and join to. And for the rest of us, we're going to continue in our worship. We're going to sing a couple of songs. And as we do this, we're again lifting the name of Jesus high. And as you do that and as you sing these words, allow God to minister to you and to meet you in these words as we bring our worship to him.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, you are
majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty.
Triumphal Entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfil what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Good morning. Today is Palm Sunday, and it is the day that the Christian Church remembers Jesus riding through the gates into the holy city of Jerusalem, into the seat of power of his enemies. Dare I say it, riding through the gates into the viper's nest. Palm Sunday is a gateway for you and I as the Christian Church. It is the gateway into Holy Week, the final days of Jesus' life. The day, the Holy Week, the week when we recognise and remember Jesus' final few days, his ultimate arrest, torture and death on the cross. I'd suggest that within this final week of Jesus' life, he lived and breathed the full range of human emotions. He lived out almost the full human condition in those final days. There was no human experience he didn't encounter. And so this morning, I would like us to attempt to join with the disciples who were journeying with Jesus and try to engage with what they must have felt during that final week. It'll only be a snippet, but I think it has something in here for us to learn. So let us start with Palm Sunday. Imagine the crowds. Imagine the noise, the screaming, the shouting, the raising cries of Hosanna, the hustle and the bustle, the expectation and the hope. And how would you feel as you saw Jesus riding on that donkey? We'd probably feel excited, energized. The Messiah had finally arrived. This was the moment we had all been waiting for. Here's our King. We'd have been seeing the strength and the confidence and the assuredness and the hope within our celebration. Perhaps in our hearts we would have been going, yes, yes, yes. This is a time of hope. That's what we'd have all been feeling. That's the beginning of the week. We then later see Jesus going into the temple and turning over the tables. He was angry, but strong. And again, there was a clarity of purpose about him. He was disrupting the rulers of the time. He was confronting the status quo. Again, if you and I had been there, I wonder what we would have felt. I think I would have felt excited, again, energized and confident. Here was a strong Jesus finally making a difference and showing his hand. I'd have been excited and hopeful and expectant. Then later on, we see Jesus during this week. He continues to teach and to comfort and to reassure his followers. Again, here we see Jesus, the wise, the comforting, the assurance, the clarity of vision that he would have been sharing. Again, I wondered how you would feel if you were listening to him. Would you have been wowed by his wisdom? Excited and assured by his wisdom and the truth that he's sharing. Then we move to Thursday, what we call Maundy Thursday, and we find Jesus picking up a bowl of water and a towel and starting to clean the disciples' feet. Imagine him cleaning your feet. Okay, is this the act of a triumphant king? Is this really what a majestic, powerful leader should be doing? Is this a menial job? He keeps talking about going away, that this is our Last Supper. How would I feel? I think I'd start feeling uncertain about where is Jesus going with all this? Why is he talking about going away? Why is he doing these menial jobs? This isn't quite what I expected. I think I would start to feel unsettled, perhaps confused, might even be angry with Jesus for what he's doing. And then later that evening, we walk to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's dark. It's late at night. And Jesus goes away on his own to pray. We see him weeping and pleading in his prayers, even sweating blood in his anxiety and perhaps fear. Is this weakness? Is this strength? Where is, again, that strong, confident, triumphant Messiah that I want to believe in? As a disciple, I'm now getting worried and anxious. What is going on? I'm uncertain and unsettled. And then again, we see the soldiers arriving to arrest Jesus. They take him away. He is put on trial. He is sentenced. He's mocked. He's beaten. He's tortured. He's then murdered on a cross. We see a Jesus who is betrayed. He is abandoned. He is deserted. He is stripped naked and made vulnerable and exposed. He's unprotected and alone. He's helpless. He's weak. Where is this strong, triumphant leader and Messiah, the salvation of the nation of Israel? How would I be feeling at that time if I was there, one of his disciples? Alone, my dreams shattered, afraid, confused, panicked, distressed and sorrowful, because I've also seen a friend beaten and killed. My hope for the future shattered and gone. And that leads us to Saturday. Silence. Nothing. Where is God now? As a disciple at that time, I would have been bemused, traumatized, lost. There's nothing but silence from God. But of course, we know the good news, don't we? We know that Jesus overcomes death and rises again in glory. And we know he is alive today. And if you are a Christian, you will know his love and the reality of his love. Hope is alive. Hope rose from the dead, and hope is alive today in the person of Jesus Christ. Holy Week was and is and is meant to be for us as a people of faith an emotional roller coaster. I wonder if you've managed to get a taste of that as we've raced through Holy Week and imagined what some of it might have been like. I think it's safe to say that we are more at the beginning of this coronavirus crisis at the moment than we are at the end. We are at the beginning of this journey, and it's going to be a long one. But in light of Jesus's journey through his Holy Week, I wonder which point of his week you most relate to this morning. Are you feeling positive and upbeat, as if it's Palm Sunday? That stage where you're seeing a strong and confident Jesus walking on into Jerusalem. Are you perhaps feeling a little bit more unsettled, like that early parts of that Thursday day, wondering what Jesus is up to and why is he talking about our Last Supper and going away? Are you beginning to feel despair or fear as you might have felt with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Or do you feel alone and abandoned as Jesus must have felt having been arrested and taken into custody? I know one or two of you are beginning to know people who know people who've died because of the coronavirus. And therefore, are you someone who is beginning to experience the sorrow and the grief of death? As Jesus had died, the disciples would have experienced that. And Jesus knew what it was to grieve because of the loss of his friends earlier in his life. And of course, he grieved over humanity. Are you in a time of grief today? Or perhaps you feel like the disciples did on that Saturday, that time of utter silence after Jesus' death. Where is God in the midst of all this? I have to say, today and in recent days, I've personally felt like I've been in a Palm Sunday time. I feel confident and hopeful and excited and positive. But certainly last week, at the beginning of last week, I was definitely part of a Thursday day, feeling unsettled and uncertain, not quite sure where this is all going and what I can do and to contribute. And I was certainly feeling like those disciples would have been on that Thursday. What on earth is going on? I wonder where you are this morning. Wherever you are, we are all on a journey, and that journey will continue to move forward. And this journey of the Holy Week is, I think, going to echo, or the coronavirus crisis journey will echo a Holy Week journey. But there are two critical things that I want us to know, and that is that journey begins with hope and ends with hope. The hope of Palm Sunday and the hope of Easter Sunday. And there is hope throughout all these things, even in the difficult time. And there are two things that I really want us to take hold of. The first is that Jesus is with us. There is nothing that you and I will feel and experience in this time that Jesus didn't himself experience. And therefore we can draw from him and draw him to us to help us journey this time. And the second thing is the hope that Holy Week ends in hope with that Easter Sunday. For every disastrous Friday, there is a resurrected Sunday. There is the hope of a Messiah, the true hope of Jesus Christ, who overcame all adversity, even death. He will be the comforter in our trials. He is the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our hope. And taking us back to Palm Sunday, there is hope in every palm leaf that was waved. There is hope in every cloak that was laid in front of Jesus on that first Palm Sunday. And so I want to encourage you this Sunday, perhaps to make a palm leaf. Cut one out of paper, or perhaps you've got gifts to be more creative. And why don't you write your hopes for this time on that? And then stick it up on a wall or on a window and use it as a thing to pray for over the coming days and weeks. Have it there as a reminder to pray for your hopes at this time. And even in the darker times of the coming weeks, there is hope because there is an Easter Sunday after every Good Friday. And so as we enter Holy Week through this gate of celebration on Palm Sunday, I hope that you can lift your hopes to God today. So happy Palm Sunday to you all.
Well, thank you, Peter, for those words. And why don't we just pause and allow God to just continue to meet us in those words. And perhaps as Peter was sharing, why don't you offer God your hopes at this time on this Palm Sunday? Well, we're going to continue in prayer now, and we're going to particularly pray for a couple of our mission partners today. We've got a couple of videos, one from the English family in the Czech Republic, the English family who were with us back in October at our weekend at home, and they work for an organisation called Josiah Ventures, particularly working with young people and churches in Eastern Europe. And they're going to give us an update of what we can pray for them at this time as they battle with the coronavirus too. They had to shut down their church a week before we did ours. And then we're going to have a second video from Sue Hornby, the head teacher of The Bridge, an alternative education provider here in Malvern, where many of our congregation work, and one of our key mission partners, as they seek to support some of the most vulnerable children in our communities at this time through that school. So let's hear from them and then we will pray.
So hello to our friends in
St. Andrews
and All Saints.
It's great to be a part of your service, and we're very blessed that you're praying for us. So just a couple of things that you can be praying for.
So as you probably remember, we have quite a big youth ministry going on in our local church. So please pray for all the leaders and all the kids that we have, that we stay in touch even in the hard times of quarantine, that we do find time for those personal conversations and sharing the gospel. Also, my own personal prayer, please pray for me as a homeschooling mom and a teacher at the same time. I have 180 students that I am currently running online lessons for, and some of them are not in a very good state of mind. So just please pray for me for wisdom, and also for my students, that they understand what is important and they seek for help in the Lord.
Yeah, and Hank has actually been reaching out to some of her students outside of teaching to be helping them. And that's the work that we do. We're equipping churches to work with young people throughout Central Eastern Europe. It's a hard time for everybody right now, and so we're trying to help churches respond to this difficult time, and to resource them and encourage them to be not only caring for their young people, but also equipping their young people to share the good news. It's a time of trouble, but people are very open to the gospel right now. And please also pray for our church. We've had to move everything online, and we want to help our people to keep growing in their relationship to Jesus, and also to be a light to their community. So we're trying to reach out to our community, to serve our community in this difficult time. Thank you for praying for us as we pray for you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, Dave's asked me to say something about what we're doing at The Bridge during this the unusual times. We're keeping in touch with all the children remotely, keeping records of work that's being sent out, trying to keep them busy, getting the balance right between them not feeling overwhelmed with stuff, but also feeling supported as well. So I think parents have been really happy with that, and some of the kids are struggling to be motivated and to, you know, maintain any structure. So in terms of what we'd like prayer for, it's safety at home for the children who are in quite difficult, challenging home situations, some of them. Motivation to stay engaged with the work And our year 11s that they transition next term onto college, because that's something they've worked really hard for and need a lot of support with. As a staff team, we're keeping in touch over Zoom, we're debriefing twice a week, and just it's always great to see each other, and that's a really nice time together. So yeah, so it's interesting, and yeah, that's where we are.
And so, Father God, we lift up to you our friends, the English family in the Czech Republic, as they continue to respond there to the coronavirus outbreak, and as they seek to bring your love and hope to all they are in contact with. We pray for their church, that they will each keep strong and it will be a beacon of hope in their community this time. We pray for Terry as he seeks to support other churches in Eastern Europe through this crisis. Give him discernment and your wisdom as he seeks to encourage other church leaders. And we pray for all of their young people in the different groups and choirs that they belong to. We pray that you'll protect them and enable Terry and Hanka to continue to support them and to walk with them and nurture them in their faith through these days. We pray for Hanka as she supports her own students in her school remotely, as well as homeschooling her own children. May you be her strength and her guide. And we pray your blessing on that whole family. And as we continue to pray for young people, we pray for the work of The Bridge, working with some of the most vulnerable young people of our community here in Worcestershire. We pray for Sue and Neil, and for all the staff, that you would enable them to continue to support the students and each other at this time. We pray for each of the young people, that you would protect them, that you would bring them hope and peace at this difficult time. And in the time of silence now, I invite you to bring to God the people on your heart, praying whatever God leads you to pray for them today. And finally, bring yourself to God and hear those words which we shared last Sunday. My soul find rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my refuge. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your hearts to him, for he is our refuge. And again in the quiet, I invite you to pour out your heart to God this morning. And just receive from God his peace and his love and his strength. And we finish with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. In all the troubles of this time, we continue to see God at work, don't we? Doing something beautiful within our communities. We see such an amazing support of different organisations working together to support people in need in our neighbourhoods. And it's been a privilege, continues to be a privilege, to be part of that. And our final song speaks something of that, as it's a prayer for God's kingdom to come, for God to bring about a new revival. As we sing it, it's a prayer for us to ask God to break our hearts for what breaks his, to love others like he loves us. And may this be our prayer this week, that we will keep on keeping on our walk with God, loving God and loving our neighbour and resting on his strength to do so. Let's sing, I See the King of Glory. So thank you so much for joining us today for today's service. We continue to pray for you and do pray for us at this time. And continue to do all you can to serve each other, to serve our communities, to get into those rhythms with God each day, to draw on his strength and his peace. And do join us at the end of this service if you're able to, if you're watching it at the right time, to log on at 12 o'clock to join us for a chat over Zoom in one of our Zoom rooms. Do join us for next week's Holy Week activities and look out for those daily reflections, and we look out for your creative contributions. It'd be lovely just to see what each other is doing as we journey this Holy Week together. And so a final blessing as we go from here. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with us, wherever we may go. May he guide us through the wilderness, protect us through the storm. May he bring us home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown us. May he bring us home rejoicing once again into our doors. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. Goodbye, and God bless, and take care.